Okay, what we've seen so far is that, first of all, we need peace with God because we are separated from God, and Jesus is the bridge to God. So the question is, who has peace with God? Everyone? Only a few? Just some? Some churches and religions almost make you feel like only their members are saved. Other people use expressions like, we're all God's children, as if we were all at peace with God. If we all want to have peace with God, the most important question must be who actually has peace with God? In order to find the answer to this question, we have to see how God has related to people throughout time. God has always offered peace to people through covenants or agreements. The Bible teaches that when God offers peace between himself and others, it's always through a covenant or an agreement. God offers the agreement, and the person who enters into the agreement with God enters into peace with God. And that's the big idea. Only the person who has entered into an agreement with God has peace with God. We started with this question, who has peace with God? The Bible teaches that only the person who has entered into a formal agreement with God actually has peace with God. This is much more than just saying a prayer or going to church or reading the Bible or stopping a sin. It's entering into an agreement with the living God of the Bible. Without being in a formal agreement with God, no one has peace with God. The history documented in the Bible shows that when someone enters into a formal agreement or covenant with God, he enters into peace with God. So, what's the agreement with God like? See, the agreement that God has offered throughout time to different men and women are somewhat like the contracts that we make when we do business. In the following example, we can see how a covenant, whether it's a legal contract or an agreement with God, has five parts. Here's the example. If I was going to sell you a car, we would have to enter into a contract. I would offer the contract. I would promise to do something for you, in this case, give you the car, and the contract would have terms, what you would agree to do by entering into this agreement. In this case, the terms would be to give me a certain amount of money. And if you agreed to the contract, you would accept it, and we would sign a document. This document would be the sign of our contract. Now, looking at these components helps us to understand the agreement that God offers us and how we can enter into peace with Him. The first component of an agreement is the person who offers it. Someone has to initiate and offer the agreement. The person who offers the agreement of peace with God is God. The second component of an agreement is the person who receives the agreement. This is the person who accepts the agreement that the other offers. In terms of our agreement with God, every man and every woman who accepts the agreement enters into peace with God. Number three, an agreement also has promises. This is what the person who offers the agreement offers to do for the person who enters into it. The fourth element of an agreement are the terms. The terms are what the person who offers the agreement asks the person who accepts the agreement to do. And finally, there's the sign of the agreement. The sign is something physical that makes the agreement real. The history of God in the Bible is a series of agreements that God has offered to different people. Let's look at several. The first agreement that God offered was to Adam, the first man ever created. God offered him a paradise in the Garden of Eden and asked Adam to obey him. Now, as you probably know, Adam disobeyed God and broke the agreement with God. In Hosea 6:7, it says this, "Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there." And then God offered two different agreements to Noah. First, he offered him salvation from the flood, and he asked him to build the ark. Noah obeyed and entered into an agreement with God, and God saved him. God told him this in Genesis 6:18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Now, after the flood, God established another agreement with Noah. He promised to never again flood the earth. In Genesis 9:9, it says, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." Another agreement that God offered was to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 18, God offers to be the God of Abraham, to bless him and to give him many offspring. What God asks of Abraham in this agreement is that Abraham obey him. In Genesis 17:1, it says this, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am the God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.' Abram fell face down, and God said to him, 'As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations.'" Then later, God made an agreement with Abram's grandson, Jacob, or Israel, as he later became known. This agreement wasn't just for Jacob, but was also for his descendants and lasted until Jesus died on the cross. And in this agreement, God promises Jacob and his descendants that they will be his special nation, and he asks them to obey him. Exodus 19:5 says this, "Now if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, and then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." That brings us to forgiveness in Jesus, the current agreement. Through the years, God has offered various agreements to men and women. Only those who have entered into an agreement with God experience peace with God. The Bible teaches that when Jesus came and died on the cross, God established a new agreement or pact. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:6, "But in fact, the ministry that Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises." God is the one who offers this agreement. He takes the initiative and offers us the option of entering into peace with him. He offers it to everyone in spite of the fact that only those who have entered into this agreement have peace with God. Every person can enter into this agreement and be at peace with God. But not every person does. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says this, "God, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." And he promises forgiveness. See, just like any other agreement, the agreement that God offers contains promises. To those who enter into this agreement, he promises forgiveness from sin. Everyone who enters into this agreement can cross the bridge from where they are, far away from him, and receive forgiveness for every time they've disobeyed God. That's why it says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." God also promises adoption into his family. So it's not just forgiveness, it's adoption. This means that when someone enters into this agreement with God, God receives him or her as his child. In John 1:12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Additionally, God promises eternal life at his side to each of his children. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, in this agreement, God promises much more than we deserve. He does this because he desperately wants us to be at peace with him. The terms that God asks of each person who enters into this agreement with him is nothing more than obedience. He asks that his children live lives in obedience to him. In 1 John 2:6, it says, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Our obedience isn't the condition for us to enter into this agreement. In other words, we don't have to be obedient to God before we can enter into peace with him. However, he does ask that his children live in obedience to him after we enter into the agreement. In 1 John 3:8, it says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Those who are born of God will not continue to sin because God's seed remains in them." They can't go on sinning because they've been born of God. God's child doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, no one is perfect. But God asks that his children always make their best effort to disobey him less and continually become more like Jesus. And then communion is a sign. One of the physical signs of the agreement between us and God is the Lord's Supper or communion. The reason that God's children regularly eat bread and drink grape juice or wine together is because Jesus said that this ceremony or meal would be a visible sign of the agreement that God would offer to everyone. That's why Jesus said before he died in Matthew 26:26, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Every time we celebrate the communion, we remember the death of Christ, the agreement with God, and the forgiveness that his children have. And when someone decides to enter into this agreement with God, they have peace with God. So let's start end with the question that we started with. Who has peace with God? Every person who has entered into this formal agreement with God has peace with God. And that's why we could say that when someone decides to enter into this agreement, he or she immediately has peace with God. In the next study, we'll see how to make the decision to enter into this agreement with God.